Today's podcast is brought to you by Howie's VIP Studio Visit. The Captain will be back starting the first week of May. To order your tickets before they are all sold out, go to HowieCarShow.com and click on the VIP tab. Enjoy the podcast.
She's the Boston Herald's wittiest wordsmith, the last woman standing at the Whiskey Priest. Once a very legitimate magazine that we definitely didn't make up named her the Michael Jordan of radio. Wait, don't you think we're laying it on a little thick here, Grace?
Just stick to the script.
Oh, okay. Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. First of all, I cannot believe it's Thursday. I mean, I have the best job in the world, but it really does fly by, and I can't believe it's already 2 o'clock. But what I want to talk about in this last hour, this just came to me, is that there was a big portion of Biden's speech that had to do with taxes. And that's really where my ears perked up. Because, I don't know, maybe I'm alone in this, but I like to keep most of my money. And when I see how much of it I give away to the government, I want to scream. Not as much as I want to scream when I see Joe Biden picking a dandelion outdoors with a mask on his face, but definitely sometimes.
I'm allergic to dandelions. I don't even wear masks around them.
Yeah, and you guys have heard how much Jared hates his allergies, so that means something there. But what I noticed was that he talked about how the trickle-down theory doesn't work, how Trump's tax cuts didn't really work, and it was bold of him. I said that to Brooke Rollins, who we had on in the second hour. I said that was bold of him because people, that's a concrete thing that people saw. You know, it's a concrete thing that you see in your paycheck, that you see in your 401k. And it's strange to try to change that history. Now, a new story is out in Axios today. It says, which I've been hearing this story from a couple different outlets for a few months now. But it says Biden's $400,000 tax cap for individual earnings, not joint filers. Now, most of us expected this, but I do think it is important if you happen to be listening and you're on the fence about anything and you're wondering why all of us conservatives are so skeptical of all of these great ideas that Joe Biden has. President Biden's promise not to raise taxes on Americans who make less than $400,000 only applies to individuals, not married couples filing jointly. Why it matters. I love how they do that. Why it matters. The declaration means a hypothetical couple with each spouse making $399,999 would not escape the tax increase, even though they individually earn less than $400,000, because together they make more than that. Biden plans to raise the top tax rate from 37% to 39.6% for families with taxable income above $509,000 and for individuals above $452,700 to help fund his $1.8 trillion American Families Plan. I'm not a fan of taxes for anyone. I know there's a lot of talk about these big corporations don't pay enough taxes. I don't like the idea of anyone paying an exorbitant amount of taxes. I just think it hampers growth. It hampers the economy. And I'm not a fan of it. But I'm especially not a fan, and I'm not in the $400,000 bracket. But I think those people, for the most part, tend to give a lot of money in taxes as is, tend to usually be like middle America. You know, definitely, it's a lot of money. But I think they're the people who already take on a lot of the tax burden in this country. And I think right as we're coming out of a pandemic to say, oh, no, we're going to tax you guys. Because the big talking point is, oh, it's the billion-dollar corporations and it's Jeff Bezos and it's Elon Musk. Well, $400,000, I'm not saying it's not a good amount of money, but it's not a billion-dollar company. It's a family that makes over $400,000. When you really get down to the nitty-gritty of it, they probably don't take that much of it home anyway. And so what I wanted to talk about here, this is why I bring this up, is because Jennifer Rubin, you guys know I'm a big, big fan of Jennifer Rubin. I always say, if you want to see what side of an issue you should be on, you look at Jennifer Rubin's tweets, and whatever she's saying, do the opposite. She's got instincts like George Costanza. It's really amazing. She thought Andrew Cuomo was the best thing she'd ever seen. She thought the Lincoln Project was, you know, just absolute American heroes. She's wrong on everything. She's like Joe Biden on foreign policy. Who was it? Robert Gates, who said he's been wrong on every single thing for the last four decades. Well, Jennifer Rubin's Twitter is just like that. Now, this is the level of delusion, because I ask this a lot to people. I say, are people waking up? Are people buying this? Are kids, especially people my age, like if you're listening and you're 28 or 29 and you're hearing this talk about the tax brackets and, you know, oh, we got to tax people right now to pay for this $1 trillion human infrastructure plan. Does a red flag go up in your head? Because this is what I'm reading from Jennifer Rubin, who is a grown woman in politics. She says, maybe Biden in the end will say, hey, revenue is pouring from the economic boom, so we don't need all these tax hikes. I have to ask people, 844-500-4242, please, you know, if you're going to call in and tell me, Grace, this is the reality, this is what liberals actually think, then that's fine. But I would love some people to call in and say, you know, my son or daughter's waking up. They get it. They regret voting for Joe, or they're going to vote in 2022 to, you know, turn this thing red. I need something, because when I read something like that, I'm just thinking, wow, we are in trouble. That is not good. There's other things I do want to talk about, but I think that's a good question for people is do you think that the average American, and I know people don't want to talk politics as much when they're together right now, but when you see people, have you had noticed anyone who's had a shift in their thinking lately? John, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, John.
Good afternoon, Grace. Thank you for taking my call.
Of course.
Hey, as you were discussing all these different things, a little light bulb went off in my head. I work outside. I'm getting soaking wet, so I'm sitting in my truck right now. But Joe Biden also said he wants to spend $80 billion, remember, to build up the IRS to catch tax cheats. Do you remember that?
Uh-oh, Al Sharpton. Watch out. Yeah, no, I know. There was no shortage of money being spent, John.
No, but it's interesting because Joe Biden didn't pay any taxes in 2017, 18, and 19. I wonder if he'll be one of the people on the list.
Well, my whole issue with so much of what he laid out, which I don't think people my age really care about, is that everything, at some point, someone's got to pay for it. I mean, who was it who said the problem with socialism is eventually you run out of...
That was Margaret Thatcher.
Eventually you run out of other people's money. It's absolutely true. Another person pointed out last night, after you listen to that speech and all of the highlights, someone said, tonight is a great night to remember this quote from Ronald Reagan. The most terrifying words in the English language are, we all know them, I'm from the government and I'm here to help. And that's exactly what Biden was trying to convince you. He's got his family Bible in one hand and a chocolate chip ice cream in the other and a dandelion in his pocket. And he's here to help.
Hey, who gets the family Bible?
Oh. God, the family Bible. I was just talking to Howie about this during the break. I said, you know what my issue with that is? He's too cute by half. It's not enough that we all have to sit there and pretend that he's with it. But now we have to sit there and pretend that he's with it. And he's this devout Catholic with his family Bible. It's enough to make you sick. Petruzzi, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Petruzzi.
Hey, two things. The first thing was Biden was going to tax everybody before he even came up with this stupid infrastructure bill. And number two, Catholics don't use a Bible.
Well, I mean, they do. I have a Bible. I don't claim to bring it around like Joe Biden does. He was going to tax everybody either way. I think he talked about that during their debates sometimes. He would be like, I just don't understand the mindset of thinking that taxing people after a pandemic is the way to get growth. But I'm not as brilliant as Biden and his administration, so maybe people can enlighten me. Also, Jared, can I just play one more cut here before we go to break? And we'll take more of your calls. 844-500-4242. Very curious what you guys thought of the speech. I do want to play one more here. Cut 7, please.
My grandmother in Virginia who told me she immediately took her granddaughter to the eye doctor. Something she said she put off for months because she didn't have the money.
He had a lot of stories like that. He's Charlie Baker of the stories. It's guilty as charged with the stories, Joe Biden. And it's funny because Daniel Dale actually fact-checked him. And he said, he's going through all the things. And he said, this was also an ad-lib, not in Biden's prepared speech. Most issues were when he started ad-libbing numbers. And he mentions number stuff. And I started laughing to myself because I'm like, we talk about that all the time. The guy loves numbers. Now, you may have seen a tweet from me about the Eden Pierre thunderstorm. I sent it out earlier today. You can follow me on Twitter at @G_Curly. Hotels, vets, dentists all have purchased multiple units of the Eden Pierre thunderstorm, which is why the Eden Pure has brought back the 3-pack for this week only. You can save $200 on an Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier 3-pack, so you'll get 3 units for under $200 and save $200. Jared, explain to everybody why this product is so amazing.
So, you know, I have seasonal allergies, which really impacts my ability to pick dandelions for a special lady. But I struggle through, and I do it because of love. But seriously, though, if you have allergies, the Eden Pure Thunderstorm is fantastic for you because what it does is it actually ionizes and cleans the air around you. And you're breathing almost pure oxygen. And it's fantastic because allergens are gone. Pollutants, odors, viruses, anything that gives you problems with your breathing is gone in minutes. I use it in the house. I actually am going to get one now to use in my car because you can plug it into your car. There's a cord that comes with it. You just plug it into your the USB port where you plug in your iPhone or your phone charger or whatever you have, and you can have clean air in the car. You can have clean air everywhere, and that's why the 3-pack is such a good deal.
Go to EdenPure.com, click on the radio banner, and put in code word GRACE3 to save $200 for their special 3-pack. That's EdenPure.com, radio banner, and code word GRACE3. The 3-pack is for this week only, and you guys can check out that tweet if you want to go directly to this deal. I see you all on the lines. I can't wait to hear what you have to say. 844-500-4242. We will be right back with more of The Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. This is The Grace Curley Show.
Our grids are vulnerable to storms, hacks, catastrophic failures with tragic results.
So many new words in this new normal world we live in. So I read you guys the tweet from Jennifer Rubin. I don't think people really believe that this is a real tweet. I think it is. She said, maybe Biden in the end will say, hey, revenue is pouring from this economic boom, so we don't need all these tax hikes. Yes, maybe. Maybe, maybe, maybe. And maybe Santa Claus will also show up and say, I'm going to give 10 gold bars to everyone. It's just crazy land. They're all taking crazy pills and they don't seem to care. Today's poll question is brought to you by Old New England Soap. Old New England Soap makes the best wood wick soy candles that burn for up to 100 hours, as well as goat milk soaps, bath bombs, and now offering gift sets for Mother's Day and any occasion. Go to oldnewenglandsoap.com. It's old spelled OLDE. Jared, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
How much of Joe Biden's address did you watch? 0 to 5 minutes, 10 to 20 minutes, 20 to 40 minutes, or the whole thing?
I'm embarrassed to say I did tune in for at least 20 minutes.
You're in the 1% that say they watch 20 to 40 minutes. 93% say they watch 0 to 5 minutes, 3% for both 10 to 20 minutes, or the whole thing.
I did a lot of exiting out of the screen and then turning it back on Like, I would get frustrated. He would say something outrageous. He wouldn't thank Trump for Operation Warp Speed. He would talk about, you know, taxing us, and I would exit out. And then I would see a tweet about it, and I would go back to it. Ugh, painful. Marion, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, next.
Hi, Grace. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Great. I got three quick things. I didn't get a chance to tell you that I commend you, and I appreciate when you had Students for Life on about a month ago.
Oh, yeah, they were great.
We need more of that. That was awesome. I couldn't get through to tell you it was awesome. Number two, I'm sick and it's not you, but a devout Catholic does not believe in abortion, let alone.
Oh, did we lose you, Marianne? I think we did. I don't want to assume what you're going to say, but I feel like I have a pretty good idea, and feel free to call back. You were going to say that there does seem to be an inconsistency in the devout Catholic Joe Biden, which I don't really need to explain to anyone. You know, it's a tough thing. It's tough to walk both sides of that one. You know, you're pro-choice, but you're also a devout Catholic. And then people act shocked about the Hyde Amendment, what he did with that. But it's like, how'd you buy into this? How did these Catholics vote for Biden thinking he was actually going to stick with anything, stick with his word? I mean, it's crazy to me. Keith, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Keith.
Hi, how are you today?
I'm good. What's going on?
Well, you had expressed an interest in hearing from anyone who had a liberal friend who was having voters' remorse.
Yes.
And I regret to inform you, no. If I ever find one, you'll be the first to know. But I got one guy in particular. I like him. I work in a school district, so I am surrounded. And I have this one friend. He is quite liberal, although he says he's an independent. And I asked him about a week or so ago if he had any regrets about casting his vote for Joe Biden. And to my astonishment, without hesitation, he said, no, I have woken up every morning with a smile on my face because Donald Trump is gone. He hates Donald Trump so much, and he's not getting the information that I have people like Howie and Rush and Sean Hannity to thank for telling me what's really going on, or I might have my head as far up my butt as these people do.
Yeah. And I do think the not Trump aspect is a huge reason. It's not only a huge reason that he won, but it's a huge reason why his approval rating is just barely hanging on where it is. If it wasn't for him being Mr. Joe, not Trump, Biden, I don't think he would be doing that well. Susan, you're next with Grace and the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Susan.
Hi, Grace. You asked about young kids. My boy is 19. We grew up in Amherst, Massachusetts, and he's conservative. My other son is conservative. My daughter, not so much. So there may be some hope out there that a kid growing up in Amherst is a conservative. I mean, it's difficult, but he's good. I just thought you might want to hear that.
Yeah, and Susan, I do love to hear that. And something I notice is that I think I had an advantage when I was younger as far as becoming conservative, because you do learn a lot of things just through life, whether it's, you know, your first paycheck or just anything. You see a lot of your values reflected in your party as you get older. But the difference is with some kids, it's like, yeah, you'd love to say, oh, they'll figure it out eventually. But with the liars in the media, I don't know if they will, because people get inundated by these pings on their phone of fake news stories and they run with it and they believe it. So I think a lot of kids, young people, do figure it out eventually just through life experience. Like they always say, a Republican is a Democrat who got mugged. But nowadays, the media is making that really tricky. We will take the last two callers on the other side, so don't go anywhere. And then we have the one and only Jared Diglio. He's going to grace us with his presence for producer's picks. I agree with Susan. I think there's a lot of hope. I think there's a lot of young people. I get young people all the time who tell me they're listening to the show, and that makes me so happy. But I think we all have to keep sharing those articles and reminding people that we gotta stay sane and we gotta stick together. We'll be back on the other side with more. It's the Grace Curley Show.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria Studio.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. I do want to take the last few callers here before I hand it over to Jared. Jim, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Jim. Jim, are you there? All right, let's go to the other Jim. Jim, are you there?
I'm here.
All right, what do you got, Jim?
Are you still there? Hey, thanks for taking my call. Hey, I'm in the proud category of viewers that watched 0 to 5 minutes of the State of Confusion last night. I was actually falling asleep while I was watching This Is a Robbery about the Isabella Stewart Gardner.
Yes, I've heard great things about that documentary.
Very interesting. But what I wanted to say was about Joe Biden referring to him being the man that was with Vice President, the First Lady Biden.
Yes.
That sounds, how did that quote go? Maybe you can help me because I didn't see it exactly.
I think what he said was, the First Lady, I'm her husband. And then he said, the second gentleman, meaning Douglas.
Because what it sounds to me like he was trying to borrow from the rhetoric of a more popular president to try and make himself more likable was when John Kennedy said that he was the man that accompanied Jackie Kennedy to France, and then he reiterated that when he was in Texas. He said he was getting somewhat the same sensation when he was traveling around Texas. He was just the guy that had accompanied.
Yes, yes. And Jim, I never thought of that before, but it's a really good point, because Jackie Kennedy, I mean, she was known for her style and her elegance. And I mean, even now, you look at a fashion book, it's hard not to see that picture of her. There's so many iconic ones. I always look at, I'm getting married in November, I always used to look at pictures of her in her wedding dress. And so it did make sense when JFK said it, that she was getting a lot of attention. And he was just her plus one at a lot of those events. People just wanted to see what she was wearing.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know that it would be in Joe Biden's character to plagiarize a Kennedy at all.
Yeah, he much would, he really does prefer, a Scottish man? Neil Kinnock?
Yes.
Yes.
Kinnock.
So,
Thousand Generations.
A Thousand Generations. All right. Thank you so much for the call, Jim. That's a good point. I didn't even think of that. Now, without further ado, it's your favorite part of the show. It's time for Producer's Picks.
And now, the feature so many of our listeners wait for each day. Producer's Picks.
This is the part of the show where Jared shows us everything that he's been looking at online and perusing on the internet. Jared, take it away.
All right. Well, we now have the ratings for Joe Biden's quote-unquote State of the Union.
Was it the most watched State of the Union of all time?
Hardly. These are, according to Greg Price from the Daily Caller, these are the State of the Union ratings, which I guess the closest thing we have to compare this address to. In 2017, Donald Trump drew 48 million. 2018, Donald Trump drew 46 million. Trump in 2019 drew 46.8 million. In 2020, Donald Trump fell to 37.2 million. Would you care to guess what 2021 Joe Biden drew?
Is it in the 20s? Tell me it's in the 20s. I'll be excited.
It's not in the 20s.
It's lower.
It is lower than the
20s. No!
It is lower than the 20s.
18?
It is lower than 18.
17?
Keep going.
16?
Go. Price is Right rules. Keep going down.
15?
Nope.
14?
Down.
13?
Down.
12?
Down.
11?
11.6 million. Which actually is 2 million more than the Oscars. So I guess our poll question the other day was accurate, that it was going to be close. 11.6 million people tuned in to watch Joe Biden.
I would have
night.
Thought that was a lot of people and had you not done the comparison to Trump's numbers.
The crazy thing about that is, out of those 11.6 million, his entire cabinet, the rest of Congress, everybody who had a stake or who should have been there, who wasn't there, who was watching at home, is counted in that. So if you take away the quote-unquote friends and family viewing plan, it's even lower.
And if you go on the YouTubes, you can vote up or down, and the down votes were amazing. It was like 12,000. And I'm a bipartisan. I'm just here to share my views without giving you any sort of slant. But I would be lying if I didn't say that I gave it a little thumbs down while I was watching it. It felt really good when I clicked on it. That's crazy.
That's democracy in action. No joke.
No joke. Come on, man.
All right. President Trump this morning was on Fox Business, and they asked him about a potential run in 2024, which he has alluded to and said maybe. He said he may. Yesterday he was on, I think he was on a podcast, and he said he may make an announcement after 2022, but they came up with the question of Ron DeSantis, and this is what President Trump had to say. He said, well, he's a friend of mine. I endorsed Ron, and after I endorsed him, he took off like a rocket ship. He's done a great job as governor. A lot of people like that. I'm just saying what I read and what you read. They love the ticket, but certainly Ron would be considered. He's a great guy. So there is potential for a Trump-DeSantis 2024 ticket.
Yeah, I don't know. Here's the thing. When people think you're going to run for president, especially if you're someone like Donald Trump, you wield a lot of power. And Donald Trump is not shy about the fact that he likes power. He likes to have, you know, control, and he likes attention. And I don't blame him or anything like that. All I'm saying is he would never say this early on that he's not running anyway, because then you kind of lose your power as kingmaker. So I don't know if I really, every time I see a report like, oh, he's 100% thinking about it. Well, of course he's 100% thinking about it. I just don't know if that actually means he's going to do it, because I see pictures now of like him and Melania at Mar-a-Lago. And I don't know. I don't know if maybe he thinks, I say this all the time, but it's like when you throw that really great party and then you try to throw it again the next year, and you keep trying to recreate it, but you lose that magic of the first run. I would vote for him in a heartbeat. I would vote for him over anybody else, because I think he stood up for us when a lot of people wouldn't have, and I always will appreciate that and give him my vote. But I don't know if he's going to look at this in 4 years and go, I need to do this again. That's my take.
All right, so some fascinating news from the Twitter sphere involving our favorites, the Lincoln Project.
You like popsicles?
Hmm.
April 24th, the Lincoln Project sent out a tweet, multiple sources confirming something big, in capital letters, is coming this Wednesday, in reference to yesterday. Now, yesterday, early in the 1 o'clock hour,
Rudy Giuliani's Manhattan apartment got raided by the DOJ.
Yes, at 1:57 p.m., the Lincoln Project tweeted, told you, dot, dot, dot. So now, the theory is that, for whatever reason, the Lincoln Project was given a heads up.
Well, it's like when CNN, it was like when CNN was at Roger Stone's house in the middle of the night with cameras. They just happened to be there. It's all, I think Neil McCabe put it really well yesterday. And I like having people on who really understand how this stuff works. They're going to raid it so that they can get information. Nothing can actually be used against him, but then they can just start leaking, you know, leak galore. And then it ruins Rudy Giuliani's reputation. Not that he even cares, but it's just all, you know, smears and things like that. So I think that's probably what that is. As far as the Lincoln Project, I have no idea who in their right mind is leaking to those guys. That one's beyond me.
All right. So we played the clip earlier of Andrew Cuomo just off his rocker, crazy, talking about, you know, do you blame the nursing homes or do you blame the hospital? What does it matter where you die?
He was really just like winging it. And yeah. There's so many situations. I come out here sometimes and wing it to an extent, but I try to be as prepared as I can. In life, if you wing it, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. If you're under investigation for a massive nursing home death scandal and a sexual harassment scandal, you might want to stick to a script. It's not really the time to just go back and forth with the audience like you're at a late night comedy club or something.
Well, in addition to that, he also went pretty hard at Mayor Bill de Blasio, since those two are in a little rift right now. So when asked about Cuomo's attacks on the mayor today, City Hall Press Secretary Bill Neidhart responded to the press. Serial sexual assaulter says what?
Oh. Yeah, there's no...
Dem infighting is great.
There's no camp that is more excited about these Andrew Cuomo allegations or just really the takedown of Andrew Cuomo than Bill de Blasio. Because, and how he said this when I was telling him, I was on doing my news with him one day and I mentioned Bill de Blasio and I was like, this guy's literally going around basically pretending he's dropping an album soon, just talking about how much he hates Andrew Cuomo. But he only did it once, like Ron Kim, Janice Dean, once all these people came out and said, listen, this is a bad dude. Corn Pop is a bad dude, but so is Andrew Cuomo. And the part of it that I always remembered was how he said, Bill de Blasio is like the schoolyard bully who, I mean, he's like the kid at the schoolyard who would never take on the bully, but once somebody else punches the bully, he'll come up and get his kick in while the guy's down. Like he's so happy now that he's not the most hated man in New York. Barely.
And Willie Nelson, the musician, turns 88 years old today. His lungs are 188, but he is 88 years old today. Willie Nelson, happy birthday.
Do you like Willie Nelson? Are you a big fan?
I wouldn't say I'm a big fan. I've heard some of his music, but I don't follow enough. I also don't smoke pot, so he's not an icon for me, but I can recognize his contributions as a media personality.
Yes, I would agree. Happy birthday, Willie. When we get back, we'll be talking to Howie Carr. We're going to get his take on Biden's speech from yesterday. Maybe we'll play him a couple of these cuts here because I know he's going to want to do these during his show. So we'll give him a little sneak preview. Spring is in the air. Imagine the smell of a freshly mowed lawn, buds on trees, and the thoughts that summer is on its way. After a long, dreary winter, my prescription is a stay at the Follansbee Inn on the shores of Kezar Lake in North Sutton, New Hampshire. It's my favorite lakeside getaway. And it's not just my favorite lakeside getaway. It's Will's favorite getaway. It's my sister, my parents. They all love the Follansbee Inn. Picture yourself waking up in the morning and looking out to the diamond reflections of Kezar Lake, where you're boating, swimming, or just relaxing with a book. I always write my columns when I'm there on Saturday mornings with a nice mug of hot coffee. It's the absolute most beautiful place. The Follansbee Inn is great for family gatherings, a personal retreat, or a romantic getaway. Reserve one of their 17 unique historic guest rooms. Each has a private bath. I know that's very important to a lot of people. That's a great perk. Honestly, I can't say enough about their complimentary mouth-watering breakfast cooked to order by Dennis, who is the best innkeeper in New England. He does a phenomenal job, whether it's blueberry waffles or homemade hash or bacon, sausage. It's all so yummy. My mouth is actually watering right now. Your oasis awaits at the Follansbee Inn. Go to follansbeein.com and book now because you deserve it. That's follansbeein.com, spelled follansbee. We'll be right back with Howie Carr. Don't go anywhere. This is The Grace Curley Show.
The Grace Curley Show will be right back. Grace Curley. She's the cool kid at the lunch table.
I want a hamburger. No, a cheeseburger. I want a hot dog. I want a milkshake. I want potato
chips. You'll get nothing and like it.
This is The Grace Curley Show.
Who gets the family Bible?
Don't you know it went as well as it could?
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. We had a great day today recapping Joe Biden's speech. Jared just dropped the ratings on us. Woo! Not good. Just a little bit above the Oscars, and they hit a record low, as many of you probably guessed as well. And now we are joined by Howard Lawrence Carr. Thank you very much for joining the show, Howie.
Thank you. You know, the difference is the Oscars were only on one network. I mean, this was like a roadblock, as they used to say in TV land, you know?
No, exactly.
I mean, where did 320 million people go last night for their entertainment? It's pretty amazing.
No,
how low it was. And I guess I looked at the numbers. They say that the Trump's first speech, he had almost 50 million viewers.
Yeah.
That's,
a,
That's astonishing. I know TV habits are changing rapidly, you know, even from year to year, but still, that's amazing.
Well, Howie, I think part of it too is that as far as the media is concerned, they've always been hypocritical, and during the Trump administration, I think the American trust in the media really plummeted, but at least it was entertaining. You know, at least Trump brought a little bit of bravado to the podium. But with this, it's really boring. It's a mixture. If you understand it like conservatives do, it is disheartening and scary. But if you're just kind of a regular middle of the road voter, it's just boring. I wouldn't watch it either if it wasn't, you know, If I didn't think the situation was so dire, I don't think I would tune in.
No, I didn't tune in, I must admit. But, you know, I'm just looking at the cut sheet here, and Ted Cruz had a good description of it. Boring but radical. That's true. That's a good way to describe it from what I can see.
Howie, he described that. That was his prediction. I think that was actually before the speech.
His prediction was spot on, wasn't it?
Exactly. No, exactly. And Howie, there is one stumble here we didn't get to, so I'll play it for you. This is cut two, please.
Immigration has always been essential to America. Let's end our exhausting war over immigration.
Let's
end our exhausting war over immigration.
Yeah, I think probably the most outrageous thing, though, was Nicole Wallace afterwards basically trying to say that Trump doesn't deserve any credit for Operation Warp Speed. I mean, how these people can even take themselves seriously is kind of beyond me.
Mm-hmm. I like the fact that, you know, people were tweeting out her comment, and then they put in, you know, when he said she said Trump didn't get the needles into the arms. And then they showed Biden getting a needle put in his arm in December. In December, by the way, Grace, Jared just played a country Bible song.
Yes,
I have one that I think that really applies to the Biden family Bible. It's by Kitty Wells.
Ooh, is that that's a little tease for the audience to hang on until Howie show.
Well, we do dust on the Bible.
Oh, dust on the Bible. I think
That Hunter is in the room, I don't know what kind of dust that might be. That might not just be regular dust. That might be like angel dust on the Bible.
I was a little upset that the new Tulane teacher, Hunter Biden, didn't get one shout out during last night's speech.
He's the smartest man Joe knows.
By the way, Howie, I think something that a lot of people picked up on was just the optics of the whole night. Everybody had masks on. There was all sorts of elbow bump, fist bump things. And it just was very depressing. It wasn't a full audience, obviously. And it just was, I don't know, it was Hunger Games. This is what Molly Hemingway said. She said, from the military-ringed citizens banned from attendance Hunger Games-style inauguration to this protect Biden from the people's representatives, country in decline, joint address to Congress, the Biden administration has been an optics catastrophe.
I don't disagree. But again, it was according to the mainstream media, Grace, as I said yesterday, we could all predict this. It was the greatest speech of all time. How long has the Earth been here? 4 billion years? This was the greatest speech in the last 4 billion years. It was better than the Sermon on the Mount. It was better than the Gettysburg Address. It was better than Winston Churchill, Blood, Sweat, and Tears, Martin Luther King, I Have a Dream. Any speech you've ever heard, this was better.
Yeah, but this is from CNN. The audience of speech watchers was a friendly one for Biden, as is typical of presidential addresses to Congress. Overall, the pool of people who watched the speech was about 13 points more Democratic than the general public and about 2 points less Republican. Now, keep that in mind. CNN only came up with Joe getting a positive poll of 51%. That's less than Donald Trump got for his speech. And that's CNN.
I'm gratified. And of course, the 17,000 miles that he traveled with the Chinese leader, that's just an ad lib.
Yeah.
You know, I'm waiting for that. You know, people get indicted all the time in federal court by the feds for perjury. You know, how do you plead? You're charged with obstruction of justice and perjury, Senator. How do you plead?
ad lib.
It was an ad lib.
But how?
Come on.
That's the absolute best tweet from Daniel Dale. This was also an ad lib, not in Biden's prepared text. This is his pattern. Some issues when he starts ad libbing numbers.